All right, good afternoon, everybody. We have a lot to cover. I'd like to call the meeting to order. 4:49. Approve the minutes.
We don't have a quorum.
We've got four, right. Well, hold that off. We have an update from the county executive office, Mark Ryder, concerning stop-loss insurance. He has Tom Burgess here, who is going to give us a overview of what has happened and where we are going. Tom?
Go ahead.
Okay. Or Mark, whoever, I'm sorry.
We can.
We can vote. They'll be here shortly, I'm sure.
I'm going to stand so you guys can see me.
There you go. All right. Yeah.
One sec.
Yes.
We've got somebody that's right here.
There we go.
When this Tom Burgess, he's with the Stop Loss Insurance. All right, he's going to give a quick presentation. All right.
We ready?
Yep.
So how many of you, when the word stop loss is out, understand what we're talking about relative to health insurance? Just generally speaking?
I want just quick overview of what that
means. So we've got, let's just throw some broad numbers out. We've got a $25 million health plan. 10 years ago, they probably didn't contemplate that a single individual could have a $1 million claim. But in today's world, I've seen $2 million claims in a single year. And what happens is when you have a very large plan with lots of contracts is when you don't have the ceiling per individual, you create a lot of volatility to your healthcare budget because in some years you could get a lot of very large claims and other years you get hardly any. So you create this sort of volatility in your budget, so you generally would buy stop-loss coverage so that you can manage that. So while stop-loss is insurance, think of it like also it's kind of like budget management. It helps me manage the cost over time and take some of the shock absorption of that occurrence out of the picture. So we buy stop-loss insurance here at the county, and you buy a number, a stop deductible, stop-loss deductible, that's somewhat according to the size of the plan. So if you are a smaller plan, you might buy a coverage that caps an individual's claim at $100,000. For the size of Ulster County, we buy protection that caps it at $300,000. And essentially what that means is accepting that risk per individual to $300,000 creates a predictability and a volatility that's within the parameters of fairly manageable budget increases over time. We can manage that. There isn't as much unpredictability about that. So, you know, and in years past, it was probably 250, then it's 275 because there's an inflationary aspect of that. But right now we're buying about $300,000. What's being brought in front of you today is the idea that several counties together can come together to help shield one another and create even another layer of shock absorption. Less profit in this element of insurance because the more numbers you can amass, you can buy a higher and higher stop loss attachment point. So what's happening at this municipal level is the idea that several counties can come together and create a common participatory layer where we can take on a higher attachment together, shared risk, if you will, and buy less insurance because of it. And in so doing, create an opportunity to pay less for that coverage.
So that means your cap is higher?
That means the cap across all the member organizations is much higher, commensurate with all those members.
Because your pool is bigger.
Because your pool is much bigger with your insurance, right? So you've got that. You've got the concept.
Does this affect, if we were to ever let municipalities in, does this affect that possibility? If we were to join up with other counties, would that be off the table if we were to look into that in the future?
This is open to New York State counties, municipalities, et cetera.
If I could jump in, Tompkins is one of our...
So right now, and this is...
But they're a consortium of their own, right?
Right.
So Tompkins actually does what you're talking about.
Oh,
and they're a member of this consortium. Yes.
So we could. This would not ever take... If we decided in 2 or 3 years...
This doesn't preclude
that. Some of these towns, it wouldn't eliminate them.
No. So every year we can opt out or...
You actually, there is no termination barrier whatsoever. If it doesn't suit you at any given year, it can be terminated in that cycle without any kind of legal support.
Tracy?
Have we analyzed over the actuals, over the cost of the insurance over the past 5-10 years? Have we looked back and said the insurance cost us X and this is what we actually saved? And do we know the value of that over the course of years?
So can we project retrospectively what the value of that would be?
Well, it wouldn't be projecting.
So you're talking stop-loss coverage in general?
Yeah, well,
if we had not gone this way and gone more traditional, can we compare?
Yeah, it's like if you look at the cost of the stop-loss against what it protected us against because it's stuff.
So let me give you a short history, and Sherry can correct me if I don't have the numbers perfect, because I've been working for just a couple of years, and I did have the ability to look back at several years. So if I walk back, I believe you started in 2011 as a self-funded. And I don't know what 2011, 12, or 13 looked like, but
one
I kind of... One claimant of not great severity. So right now, our stop-loss premium, as an example, is $700,000. The year before, it was probably 10 or 15% less than that. The year before was much less than that because we were running pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just walk back the last 3 years, and if we went back further, the experience was actually better and more in favor of Ulster County. If you just look back the last 3 years, maybe four, 2015, there was just a little activity above the specific deductible, so there was a lot more premium paid than reimbursements gotten, mm-hmm. than protection gotten. In 2015, another similar year. So, in effect, stop-loss carriers making money, right? They're getting paid more premium than paying out. In 2016, the stop-loss carrier paid out, to date, $2.4 million.
Mm-hmm. And we paid how much in?
That year was probably $450.
No,
$650.
$650.
So obviously, because in the world of stop loss, that's what happens, right? In some years I got nothing, and in the other years I'm protected from this very large.
As similar to other insurance, after that year, did that action raise our premium?
Oh yeah, certainly did.
Went first, and go.
What's our current premium?
We are looking at a renewal of $700,000. For stop-loss coverage.
Joe?
And if we were to combine with a couple of these other counties?
You're looking at $700,000.
Oh, so we're going to go up higher if we don't?
No, what happens is, so if I work back from the traditional, what you're doing is you're all the counties or municipalities, whoever might be involved in this, is going to buy their stop-loss in the kind of the same way they do right now. When you enter into this, a portion of that stop-loss you're already paying is going back to the common. So think of it like this. We all have to have the same stop-loss carrier. We all buy our stop-loss coverage. And then the stop-loss carrier takes some of that premium and buys protection for itself back from the members as a whole. And that's what creates that layer between what you buy and what the attachment of the entire group is. Because the entire group being bigger might buy $600,000.
Yeah, I'm not following. So, if it's the same amount of money, I'm not following what the benefit is.
Yeah.
If it's the same amount of money, let me finish.
You've got that part. It's the same amount of money. All right, so then the money goes, a portion of it. For right now, it's about 50% of that premium is now going into a bank account, all right, and it's going to sit there in common with the other members similarly, and those dollars are going to indemnify the stop-loss carrier against claims that go above individual attachment by the member up to the common attachment across the larger membership. To the extent there's money in the bank account after these claims are paid, then it's redistributed back to the membership.
So that's the benefit, because
annually?
We're paying the same.
Annually.
Well, but when you say annually, it's
settled annually.
There is like an 18-month, because everybody has to settle out before you get there.
And are we
so
getting
the disbursement is 18 months from the end of the year.
Are we?
Well, hold on. Craig had his name.
Sorry, Craig. The $2.5 million that was paid out, last year you said, right? How is that compared to years prior?
So if we had one claimant each year, maybe it was $100,000, give or take, less or more. Mm-hmm. Then we had 2.4, and then we had 500, and this year we've got...
So it's a pretty...
With a month to go, nothing really happened.
Over the years.
No. Joan and...
No, it goes like this, and then bang, and then it kind of settles back.
16 was the high mark.
Yeah. And that's what stop-loss coverage is like. You can't predict, right?
18 months when we're getting it back, are they splitting it up and divvying it back, or is it...
It divvies back pro rata, so if...
So you're getting what you deserve.
You're getting what you deserve.
And is there ever a time, and I guess that's something we could deal with, but if one county is consistently going up, there could reach a point where we're paying for them or they're paying for us. Is that, you know what I'm saying?
You need to talk about the collateral piece in there, too.
So we talked about the fact that there's dollars going in, all right, and those dollars are to cover that layer of risk. Doesn't matter which member hits that layer of risk. That's sort of a common shared area. If there's not enough money, there is a collateral commitment, a cost of participation for doing that. And it's only if there isn't enough money to cover those claims that hit within that layer. So that's the additional risk. So it's the same premium with a little bit additional risk. So it's about 10% of the premium we're paying, $700,000. About $70,000 is committed if needed. But that's the limit of the risk to each of the members.
When we act alone, we don't do anything like that. This is just when we team up that we...
When you act alone, you don't have the ability to participate in that way. Unless you're just buying a higher and higher deductible.
With this, in this program, with the 700 premium, what's the cap now? It was 300 when we were on our own. What's the cap now?
300 for you individually.
Okay.
But that's strata.
And then right now, until as the membership grows, this will expand. But as we start out, the next layer is $250,000 above the member's chosen deductible.
So as the membership grows, the cap grows.
Right. So it's 300. I'm sorry. Did I say 250?
Yes.
Yeah, it's 300. So it goes to 600.
Tracy?
How many people are in the consortium right now? Or how many organizations?
Four counties.
There is a prospective amount. There's no guarantees because they're all going through the same thing we're going through right now. Right? So there's no guarantee that everybody suggests. But there are currently four counties that are entertaining doing this. A couple of them have committed somewhat strongly that it's likely. One of them's still in play. There has to be at least three to get it started. The vision is to have 20 or 30 or whatever.
20 or 30, do we have any sense if with 20 or 30 where that number would be? You said the second layer grows with additional members. So could that number be as high as a million, 2 million, 20 or 30? Okay, so my follow-on question is, for the four counties that are prospective members, do we have their numbers for the last 5-10 years of where they were above their caps?
Do you, as Ulster County, been presented that? You have not?
Yeah, that would be a real concern.
Does the consultant? Yes, the consultant does.
Has any county department have those numbers? No one's seen them. Okay.
No.
I think
those numbers are pretty critical to. I mean, there could be one of those prospective members could be exceeding the mark by $3 million every year. You know what I mean? We have no. We don't know if one is at somehow some kind of greater risk.
Understandable question. The first layer that should provide you some comfort is the stop loss carrier writes the policy. They underwrite each individual group according to each individual's risk. So if somebody was call it a habitual bad experience, they'd be paying a lot more premium because of it. So
So what you're saying is that if there's four counties, our rate is $700,000 based on our experience ratings.
Based on demographic and your experience.
Thompson County has an X amount of dollars, whatever that is, based on their experience rating.
Absolutely.
And if there's two other counties, they're going to be paying whatever they're going to pay based on their experience rating.
That's correct.
And each year that can change based on how much you're losing that year, if that particular county's losing?
Based on the demographics of that county, which is very much age and regional, because there's regional differences in cost. Also, experience. So if you... And I'll expand the word experience to include what we know about that group, right? If there's known risks. So if there is resident risk that we know is going to continue into the next year, and when I say we, I'm really talking about the stop-loss carrier. Stop-loss carrier knows there's a cancer patient that's going to basically run $300,000 in claims, right? There needs to be enough premium to cover that, plus what's predicted and forecast. So each year, each member is underwritten according to their own risk. So the stop-loss carrier underwrites that risk. So,
but then each member shares in that middle layer of risk. So, I mean, you're pointing out that...
Just to a defined level.
Right. But it's an increased risk because of that extra 10% that goes in the collateral at the end, but a potential increased reward.
Because they buy insurance on top of that, protect that. Beyond that point, that's what you said earlier.
We are risking the 10%, an extra 10% of.
But that 10%, but anything above that as a big catastrophe type thing, they go out and sell that insurance to somebody else, and they come in and pay that off. That's how I understand it. Is that the correct way?
The ultimate underwriter is the stop loss carrier, not the group. The group has bought into the layer that's formed by their stop loss policy, and the only additional risk is the limit of that collateral.
But that's in it. But what I'm saying is, as opposed to where we are now, given that we're at the same base price, it's an additional risk for a potential additional reward for a share of the leftover. But if there is no leftover, there's a potential additional risk.
The maximum you're going to pay is $70,000.
Yeah. Yes, but
it's a risk reward.
It's a risk reward, no question. Yeah.
That's what insurance is.
I know. I'm not sure. I'm not sold.
A couple quick questions. Anything this size being done right now anywhere in the country or anywhere in New York State with other counties or counties in other states? I don't care. Are we kind of going to be early?
I'll give you it from the perspective that I know, because I don't know other states and other counties.
Yep.
My assumption is this, yes, and I could probably bring that answer back for you from our partner. As far as this arrangement in general, it's been around since ships left England, the idea of a captive.
Yep.
For healthcare, however, it's fairly new. It's actually simpler than a lot of captives. There's captives in the real estate world. There's captives in doctors' malpractice that have been running for a very long time, that operate under the same principles as you'd expect. In healthcare, it's fairly new, and it has risen in popularity because self-funding has risen in popularity, partly because the Healthcare Reform Act, the Affordable Care Act, created more taxes within the fully insured market, plus with higher and higher costs every year, people were looking for opportunities to save money. So self-insurance has become more popular at lower and lower employer sizes.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of a captive fitting into that is because if I'm a lower contract employer, I don't have a lot of risk spread. I want the protection of the larger risk spread that a captive provides.
Has Albany weighed in? Not Albany County, but Albany. Do we know what the governor thinks? Has the comptroller's office, do they have an opinion? Is there anything?
This is sponsored by NYSAC.
Okay. And initially, what you're saying is we buy in according to what Ulster County's numbers look like.
Correct.
And that's what we're buying into. It doesn't matter what the other counties look like. After we become a team, the following year, when we re-up,
always underwritten individually?
Yeah, it's always according to what we've done.
That's
okay.
Correct. And the others. Now, you asked a question I wanted to finish about others doing it. So, in my own experience, I actually managed as the consultant two other captives. One of them is colleges in New York State. Many of you would be familiar with Colgate, Hamilton College, Hobart William Smith, St. Lawrence, Lemoyne. Vassar just joined this year, Clarkson, Casanova, is that nine? We started one of these in 2014. So when we talk about the risk-reward aspect of it, which is kind of to your question, our experience, obviously we can't predict the future. Our experience has been the gains are going to outweigh the collateral risk for the colleges, 14, 15, 16, 17, and now finishing up 18. We haven't had a collateral call yet. We've had gains each and every year that are averaging about 35% of the captive layer. So that suggests with Ulster County's captive layer rate right now about $359,000, that suggests an average of $125,000 gain.
Nobody opted out?
Nobody's opted out. We've seen the growth. The second one we just started in the not-for-profit in New York. We started in January, so it's finishing up its first year now.
So who's running the stop-loss? Who's the carrier of the stop-loss?
The carrier of the stop-loss partner is a company called Berkeley Accident and Health.
based out of?
Where are they based out of? I think they're based out of New Jersey.
New Jersey. Yeah.
But that's who we have now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Berkeley is our Southwest carrier at the moment.
Let me just ask a couple questions here. First of all, you're here tonight giving us a presentation of what might transpire. What's the time frame to implement this? Do we have to make a decision at what time to get involved with this? And can we get some more information before we proceed?
So we are coming because when we passed the last resolution,
right,
it was requested that before the there was any decisions made, we came back with the presentation. There's not, as far as I'm aware, another resolution to put on the table. That resolution has already happened.
Stated the fact that we give you the opportunity to look at the proposal, any proposal that you were working with a carrier, and you would come back with us with the information.
What resolution number is it?
It's 346.
And what does it say?
Authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement to establish the municipal health care financing.
Hold on, please. Go on.
To be made up of various counties for the purposes of exploring potential savings on stop loss.
Exploring.
So the last resolved is that prior to acceptance by Ulster County of a stop loss carrier, quote, pursuant to Article 7, Section 4.01 of the Intermont Municipal Cooperation Agreement, the Ulster County Legislature's Ways and Means Committee shall receive a detailed briefing from the Ulster County Executive Branch of Government, which shall include, to be limited to, information on cost savings, plan management, and protection of the employee data, and as to any conditions or penalties for withdrawing.
In no uncertain terms, the presentation was that it would come back to us for a decision, not come back to us, here it is, and you're ready, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
It was to explore the options, come back and give us the Ways and Means Committee all the information, and at that time we would say yes or no to participate. That's how I understood the debate.
I don't know that we do that in any of our other
concerns. I'll just tell you.
Hold on, Joe. Let me call on who's coming so we don't have everybody speaking. You got the floor right now.
I just was going to point out that's interesting to put in there very prominently. Explore, we're going to explore, and then you have some fine print at the bottom that, hey, we'll definitely give you a presentation after we make
it's a bold resolve.
I'm just, yeah.
But I'm going to go back and listen to the meeting because it was absolutely presented differently. We had a discussion about it actually coming back to us. And there's an understanding of what that means, and shame on us if now we didn't read a fine print of a resolution, and believe me, I'll be looking at it more closely, but I find that very frustrating.
Unless I misunderstood it, it was at that time to explore the different options.
We're being told we all misunderstood it.
Well, the thing is, we never gave any action to say yes or no at that time because we had no information at that time. Lynn?
Well,
yeah, I think the most important thing is that, this is just a first step in an understanding of what's being proposed, correct? And that before we get to the decisioning phase, it's not going to be 1 month, it's a resolution before us, some data behind it, and we've got to say yay or nay. Because I just want to be clear, this is a complicated, sounds good, but I think there's some data, some numbers that it would be helpful. Being talked to about it is one thing. Actually sitting down and having the numbers to look at is quite another, to ensure that we're, and with enough time to get our questions answered before we have to decision this.
Sherry first, then Mark.
There's been no decision made, mm-hmm. but there is a time frame that is has to be made. We're thinking.
What is the time frame?
December 31st is actually the best time.
Next
frame.
Year?
No.
This year?
2018. The thing is, we get stop loss each year. This municipal agreement that we're looking at, the captive, is something that, yes, you were going to have maybe the $70,000 as an additional risk and potential for getting money back. So it is this year's in 2019, but it's future forward that this is what we're kind of setting ourselves up for. If we go in, as Tom said, there are four. One could drop out. If two drop out and there's not three, we have no captive, and we just go into an agreement with Berkeley for stop loss, like we've done since 2011.
But the price will still be $70,000.
$700,000.
Right, right. Yeah. So, but the other question I would have is, I don't remember seeing that, the $770,000 being put into the budget for 2019.
It's within health.
But I thought it was only
seven. He actually budgeted $800,000 for
800?
Oh, okay. If I could, real quick, I don't believe that we've ever done a resolution to contract for to buy stop-loss insurance.
We have not.
The reason we went to resolution this year was to create the collective with the option of exploring this type of stop-loss. It was an intermunicipal agreement, which is why we had to do a resolution. It was to create the collective itself. Now the collective is exploring whether to accept Berkeley's quote, and we said we would come back here and give you a presentation.
And
let me just say, if I'm here in the Ways and Means Committee, we're not against this at this point. We just want some more information before we make a decision. Tracy.
Well, first of all, I want to say, if I'm hearing correctly, we technically don't have a decision to make. If I'm hearing correctly, we made a decision by creating the collective to explore it, and now it's out of our hands. We're just getting a presentation, which is the thing I take exception to, because it's not the way it was presented, and I will listen to the audio, because that's, I would not have voted for exploring if I knew that I was committing to potentially joining at that point, that we had no information. And mm-hmm. so we went on faith and the presentation that it was going to come back to us for a decision, which is not what's happening right now. Right now there's a presentation and we're being told we don't have the decision, which so be it. My concern on the merit of this is that right now we're paying $700,000 and we're being told that we're going to join a collective whereby we're paying the same amount with an increased risk and a possibility for a reward. I'd think of this entirely differently if you were telling me we were joining a collective whereby we'd pay less or whereby our cap would be lowered for a potential risk and reward. But I'm not entirely sold on the same exact amount of money to gamble at the on the top end, because we're definitely exposed to more risk as well as the possibility of a reward. So I'm personally not sold. I'm hearing I don't have a say anymore. That's what I'm hearing.
No. This is kind of a question to legislators, but is how we go about our approach to stop loss, is that more policy, the how of our approach, or is it more operations?
I would say, and my short answer is generally operations, but we would have had to have approved that collective. And we definitely were told, because I recall that conversation of, we don't even really know what this is about, and we were told, well, it's just exploratory. You're just approving the exploration.
Well, I think that's the greater question.
The point
is, what should our involvement be, and what should the executive's involvement be in this process? Because we're sitting here kind of going over, was that?
All right, we could talk to her blue in the face about kind of what we expected, what we didn't expect. We're gonna hold this till next week. We're gonna do.
There's no resolution.
There's no resolution.
Right?
We will make a judgment from the Ways and Means Committee regarding, after we do our due diligence from what transpired in the past, and we will say, okay, we're in favor of going along with this, and we have some concerns with it. We're going to ask you not to go along with it. I mean, I don't know if we can actually stop you if you're making a policy, but that's how I like it to view next week. I mean, we're not going to do anything tonight. Lynn?
Well, I appreciate your spending the time giving us the information. Mm-hmm. What is lacking, and I continue to press for, I want to see the data. I want to see how you determined that this was the best course of action for the county. I have seen no data. All I hear is, here's what it was a couple of years ago, and I want to see the analysis that was put together to determine this is the best course of action for the county. And I haven't seen that. I thought that's what we were going to get back.
Can you demonstrate to us by next week why that's the best course to take? Or Mark, I don't know, somebody.
Can we?
Will you?
Yes.
Okay.
We can, I'm going to, there's a lot of data, there's a lot of information, and I'm just going to go to Joe, his point that it's operational.
I didn't say it was operational.
No.
I think there's
aspects. Whether or not it was or
policy.
Wasn't. I'm going to say it's
policy.
Operational in that we do have a lot of information. You can see the information. The data is...
This is something that Lynn's brought up recently, and it really hit home with me. And I had said it, but not as well as Lynn. When you guys make the decisions you make, you're making it off of information, off of data. All we've ever asked for this whole year I've been here is that information. So when we ask for something and we don't get it, and then we're told that you guys have to go and kind of look that information up, that's kind of, it kind of boggles my mind at times, where it's, well, shouldn't that be at your fingertips when you're making these decisions? And some of them are more straightforward when it came, I mean, when it comes to salary and raises, I mean, that's pretty easy. You should know what everyone else in the county's making. So when we ask for a salary...
All right, Joe, let's keep it to the insurance.
But it's the same idea. If you guys are convinced this is the right thing to do, send it off to us. If it's too much, I'll tell you. You sent me too much data. I mean, it's all electronic. Send it to us. Give it to us. Why can't we have everything you guys have? I don't understand that. And on top of it, then you go and fight us when we try to get more analytical abilities in our own staff.
Manager Joe?
I just want to say that I believe I was here, and I want to support the question that Tracy asked. It seems to me I remember this being, we're going to explore this, and I asked then and others asked, so at what point do we make a decision? And now it seems like the
All
decision
right.
is already made.
So I would suggest strongly that we hold this over until next week.
The discussion, See, not a resolution.
Yeah,
all right, the discussion. I mean, we're not voting on anything. We go back, we'll do our due diligence regarding, you know, what exactly that meeting took place. In the meantime, Sherry, can you give us why your department chose the path that you're explaining to us based on the facts and figures?
I don't know that there's been 100% of a decision made. This is the last meeting before kind of that timeline where the decision would be made. I think there's one county that we're kind of waiting on to see if they're going to join. There's a few other figures. So to
yeah, but if you think that you're
going
to if you think you're
going
to join, then you have to make a decision, yes or no, you're going to join.
Right.
Okay, so give us that information that made that, in your mind, that's the right course to take.
We're going off the recommendation of the broker. I don't know what Sherry has.
Well, she has some facts and figures, or somebody has some facts and figures. Craig.
Doesn't the broker stand to? I'm totally confused by this.
Now, this is operational, and whether we're for it or against it, exactly what are we waiting for as far as information? If we have no oversight over this moving forward.
Well, the question is it operational or a policy? That's the question. All right, and the thing is, we had a discussion back, I don't know how many months ago. I mean, what, 3 months ago?
Not even.
August
14th.
Yeah.
August
14th.
And, we're trying to recreate in our mind what that discussion was. It just has to be updated and explore different options, or actually we gave authority at that time to proceed whatever they decided to do. I'm not getting involved in what we actually did. We're going to go back and hear that next week, okay? Tracy, I don't want to go backwards because we're going to look at that for next week.
Okay, I'm not going backwards. I'm just asking the question that doesn't the broker stand to gain financially? If our advice is strictly coming from the broker, doesn't the broker make money off of this arrangement?
I would imagine.
Well, I can't speak for all brokers,
no?
But I can speak for ourselves.
Uh-huh.
We are paid our fee. Mm-hmm. We make no commissions on anything. We are consulting.
We're self-insured.
That was an RFP that was done.
We are
done
consulting
through
for
that
the best possible cost management strategies for the county. Whether you choose to do this or not does not
and
mean anything to
we, all
the
county.
County.
All the county?
No. Ralph is our broker.
Oh, just ours. Okay. Have you...
You're employed by us, correct?
Mm-hmm. All
right. What?
They got quotes on both sides. Yeah. So, from... And they attempted to get multiple quotes from other than Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
They got a quote from Berkeley for the consortium, like if we were to join, you know, to be in the consortium and go that way, and also if we were to go on our own.
So whatever information that you have regarding all this, please provide it to Amber, who will disperse it to everybody in the Ways and Means Committee by next week. If you could do it by Friday, it'd be great. All right? Anybody else? All right? Okay, thank you. You'll have that information by Friday, correct?
I don't know if Terry has.
Terry?
Well, we're basically going to give you the captive information.
You got to give us what information you have that made you guys decide this is the best practice.
Well, you must, whatever information you're using to make the decision in the next couple of weeks, you must be looking at some information. You must have something that explains the benefit of this versus the other.
You gave them a report. No, we got that, right? Didn't we get that?
I don't know.
No, I didn't get that.
No, there was no report. Oh, I thought there was, I thought you were, you just given verbal, you were hired you for consulting and there's nothing written down?
No,
he's an employer of the county.
Whether
yeah.
But there's nothing written down. I don't know. This is all word of mouth.
Did you receive a report?
I don't know. It's sounding like there's nothing written down. I don't know.
There was no report. You're not working. I thought you were speaking from I thought you were giving us a verbal interpretation of a report.
So what we're talking about is somewhat fluid because we don't know if we have the total membership. Has there been review of all of the program agreements at the NYSAC level as well as you guys? Absolutely there has. So I think it might be helpful, may not be, to step back a little bit. The initiative for doing this came from NYSAC in the spirit of the cooperation New York State, whatever that
is. Shared services.
That's the impetus for doing this. When our company talked to NYSAC, we said if you're really looking for an opportunity to leverage a broader membership of New York State counties and municipalities, here's a fantastic opportunity to do this instead of an Article 47 as an alternative to an Article 47. Because what it does is it takes the large numbers that insurance craves and it pulls those numbers into the control of this membership. So ultimately what you're doing by this is you're driving profit out of the unpredictable nature of healthcare claims. That's ultimately what you're attempting to do. It is nothing certain, as we can't predict tomorrow's claims, but we are taking that additional risk, however you would like to define it, so that we can participate and pay only for our claims and not pay carrier profit, if you will.
I got you.
So that's where it began.
Uh-huh.
It has been talked about. This is really the first year it's gotten any traction to be talked about at several counties. And as of right now, there are four counties, municipalities that have a serious uptake to say this interests us.
So
hold on. So there again, if all four counties participate, or three to four counties participate, you would have Ulster participating in this.
Mm-hmm.
This
potentially, yes.
Potentially, why potentially? Yes or no? If you want to make by the end.
We have to review the final.
I totally understand, but right now you are leaning in that direction, and correct.
Okay, correct.
All right. So, how did you come to that decision? That's the best course of action.
With the broker who came down and met with us.
Okay, so if
yes, our broker.
Brokers, Tom Burgess.
Tom Burgess, Rel Benefit.
Okay.
Advisor.
But you.
Go on.
You are coming from. You've been involved in these consortiums.
I personally have been involved in two.
You said that your company went to NYSAC to lobby for this approach.
We pitched it.
So is it safe to say that you were going to be a fan of this? So as far as us making a pros and cons decision off of what we're going to hear from you, and I'm not saying anything you haven't told us isn't true, and I'm not saying I won't vote for this. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is we're not going to get a lot of cons as far as this goes. Right? If you are lobbying NYSAC by your own words, not lobbying, but you're saying
we pitched the concept.
Yes, you're lobbying to NYSAC that this concept works. This is something you guys should be putting on your agenda and pushing counties to do. Now you're here telling us it's a great idea. I think it's safe to say that we're not going to hear a lot of cons about this idea from you, and that's more.
So I'll counter your.
Yeah, no, but yeah.
But here's what I would say. First of all, pushing is the wrong word. It's an option. We said this is, if you're looking for something like this, this is a potential, and we're willing to help consult to make that happen. Too nice there. Separate relationship. As far as myself with Ulster County, and I think Sherry would back me up as well as Mark, when we were going through the initial, there was another county involved, and I was fairly adamant that that wasn't as good a relationship for this. Since then, that other county pulled itself out on virtue of what they were going to pay in premium didn't look right. All right. So I have an interest in my client, the county.
Without talking specifically about that county, what about that county made it better for them to go it alone as far as
stop-loss? We thought they were underpriced in the stop-loss market. Which can
they
happen.
Were getting a good deal, is what you're saying.
Which can happen, right? Yeah. If I have 10 straight years of really good loss ratios, I probably didn't get a lot of good increases, and I've worked myself below a manual expectation where most stop-loss carriers don't want to compete in that.
Had we not had 2016, would we possibly be in their boat?
2016 pushed you up to the manuals for sure. You were below that before, but not crazy below. You were below that because you earned it,
yep.
And because that's the experience you had. And to a certain extent, that's a tightrope.
All right, we got to go on. We got a lot to do. But please get us Amber that information. And Laura?
I do have one question beyond this. Schools, municipalities, this is one of the most volatile budget lines that there is when it comes to health insurance. Have you looked at extending this throughout the county?
Well, I think we have enough on our plate right now to see if we're going to decide first before
interested.
We go beyond that.
I mean, is that a possibility?
That wouldn't be a Ralph question, though.
Okay.
I mean, so...
But that's an Article 47, and it's quite complex, and there's a lot of moving parts to that. And so the answer to that is, I personally know that it's out there and it's an issue. Mm-hmm. And you've heard that it's not necessarily doing.
We don't have the luck.
All right, Trace, last question.
I just wanted to know what other counties were. What are the four counties? Can we? There must be
right now.
Yeah,
the ones that are going through this process is Columbia County. Tompkins Consortium, the town of Harrison.
Town of what?
Harrison.
Westchester. And the Tompkins
yes.
Consortium involves multiple municipalities in one of those
in
47s
right.
That you're talking about.
Article 47.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
You.
Get that information, please.
Harrison.
All right. We got a lot to cover in the next 35 minutes. All right. Resolution 436 is being pulled, correct, Mark?
Can I speak to it?
So we're going to pull it.
I want to move it for discussion.
So yeah.
All right.
Move
it.
Do the minutes first, please.
I'm sorry. Okay, I got to do the minutes. Didn't do it before. We didn't have enough people. Minutes approved by November 13th and November 20th, regular meeting, November 26th, special meeting, November 27th, special meetings. Someone make a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, resolution 436.
I'll move.
Move second.
Second.
Discussion.
So I just want to state on the record, because pulling it or postponing it for a week isn't going to solve the problem if we don't end up getting the questions answered. So my question had been around the issue of recycling, which prior to our last meeting, we had a discussion about single stream versus dual stream, and my question really wasn't strictly about what type of recycling is happening. It's contractually, it says, when I looked at the original contract, it says that they will provide our recycling and our waste pickup. But then when I look at this table B of locations and rates, it specifically states two locations with recycling totes and one cardboard compactor rental, but it does not state specifically that at each site there is recycling. It also doesn't specifically state if, in fact, the recycling is free. It's not in the contract, and the fact that it's not in the contract gives me pause when I know that there is a volatility surrounding the cost of recycling, that these carriers are pushing costs back because they're realizing costs they never had before. Before, they could bring it to the agency for zero tipping fee. Recycling, that's done. So I want to know, one, contractually, that they're bound to provide recycling at each of our buildings and the appropriate size. And two, if there is no fee for that recycling, I want to see it in the contract that there is no fee.
Mark?
It's not that there's no fee. It's included in that price. And I thought I'd sent this information to Amber, and maybe I didn't, but every other location besides the specific compactors located or on here they provide the toters, the, you know.
But Mark, with all due respect, there are two places here that say one recycling tote. So if I were to go to court on this, I could say, you see, we're obviously not providing a recycling tote because we enumerate where we are. And right there it says recycling tote, but in every other place it doesn't say it. So I'm simply asking that this gets resolved on a contractual level. You know, I don't want to hold up an existing contract. I just want the contract to state that they will provide recycling at each of these places.
Okay.
That's all.
Yep.
And
there is also a meeting with the Resource Recovery on
tomorrow
regarding this, you know, what type of recycling they're going to offer, if any, or waive, if they're going to waive anything at all.
But
so
you
I'm
do
requesting
understand
that we postpone this.
Thank
record.
You. But you do understand that
yep.
even if they postpone the termination of accepting single stream, right now they are charging for single stream, which they didn't before. So both private customers and businesses are realizing a cost, which is why I want to see that the county's protected within the contract. That's all I've been trying to get at. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. All in favor to hold?
We can just, yeah. Okay.
All right. Okay. 442, approving the contract of excess of 50,000 cubic ink, Department of Tourism. Moved by somebody?
Moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All in favor, say aye.
No, I have a question. Did we resolve this? I mean,
yeah, we had asked for a presentation or at least
copy
of
this was one that we basically what was it that that they wanted a presentation given to the clerk, if I'm not mistaken.
So let me. I was in that the last meeting, and I know
right.
It was discussion, and Mark had asked that be postponed. So Hector stopped by and clarified. It wasn't that to be clarified. So it's my understanding you were looking for the work product of the RFP committee, which I brought for you right here. Okay, so now that we've made a determination, these are public information, so it's the notes from the RFP committee, the cost proposals, the scoring sheets, the RFP. So I happen to have the proposal from the winning bidder here. It's a file copy.
Mm-hmm.
I need to have it back. The other three proposers, you know, I can get you. You can go look at those. We have a file copy left.
I think we're more interested in seeing what we're getting for what we're yeah. proposing here. It's
I would
kind of
see it.
Yeah.
Well,
say the debt. Right.
But that should be in their proposal.
This is
what they're offering.
It's all here.
Well, it's
so
in. It's
should
in,
know it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I need the file copy back, but everything else you can have. Okay. So
can we just have the file?
Yeah, again.
Should
so
we hold this for a week?
Let's
hold
it for a week.
Yeah.
All right, hold it.
Like it's pretty straightforward.
Who wants to see this? Who wants to see this?
Over here.
All right. All in favor to hold it for a week?
Postpone.
All right.
Yes.
486, distribution of mortgage tax receipts. Moved.
Moved.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
488, approving the execution of a contract by the County T. Magella Inc., Department of Public Works. Moved.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
49, approving a contract in excess of 50, Antibody County, Aster Services for Children and Families, Department of Mental Health. Health and Mental Health. Moved.
Moved.
Second.
Second.
Hector?
Thank you. So, you know, I understand that these already went to committee, you know, as we discussed, but just in general, just, you know, as a general comment, you know, last month we had 60 contracts. That's a little bit too much for this legislature at times to go and absorb. And so this month we've got 30 contracts. I understand. I'm completely sympathetic to the administration when it comes to you're dealing with multiple fiscal years. You're dealing with multiple programs as to when those dollars become available. I don't think anybody here thinks anything otherwise. I want to commend Deputy County Executive Grinnell for going to committee to go and discussing these. But just in general, when we have this many contracts, it makes it very difficult for the legislature at large to be able to grasp and understand all the different contracts, all the different pieces that are happening, because you got 30 in one pot. Where last month it was 60. So just as a general commentary, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
If I can just add, so, you know, granted there's a lot to absorb. We know that these fall on a cycle. Certainly I'd be willing to dedicate the time to meet with legislators on an individual or group basis to, again, these are great services. We're proud of all of them. I'd love to make sure help you understand what they are and how they work. So, but
Again, and the vast majority of these are basically state aid pass-through. Yeah. Where we're not necessarily determining the vendor, these are vendors determined by the state of New York.
Sure, but our ability, of course, to do our job, to be able to ascertain things, that's okay. Where it becomes difficult.
So. Happy to do it.
Any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next, 490, approving the execution, enter New County, Gateway Community Industries, Department of Mental Health. Moved.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay.
Any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 491, approving the contract excess of $50,000 at Peabody County People, Inc., Department of Mental Health. Move.
Move.
Second.
A second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
492, approving the execution of contract in excess of $50,000 Mental Health Association, Department of Health and Mental Health. Move.
Move.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
493, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 to enter Buddy County, ARC of Ulster Green, Department of Mental Health and Mental Health. Moved?
Moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
Questions?
I just have one comment. Mm-hmm. I believe it was this one, but going through it, they had a list of their programs, and I'd just like to note that the CO's bottle is no longer open.
Right. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. 494. Can we bundle a few of these?
I start to have questions now.
All right.
The beginning of
I should have bundled before.
I should have bundled before.
All right. 494.
Runs out at some point.
Excess of 50. Okay. Family services. Moved. Second?
I'll second it.
Question.
I have a question.
Tracy.
So this talks about reports. Have we analyzed the efficacy of this? Are the reports public information? Have we looked? I don't know if this is a question for you.
So this is family service. This is ulcer prevention.
Yep, it's ulcer prevention.
So it's my understanding that members of the legislature serve on the ulcer prevention council. It's something that's a holdover pre-charter. Again, this is an instance where these are funds directed by the state to the specific provider. They fund the prevention program, but certainly, I'm sure the Ulcer Prevention Council would love to come in and meet with committee or with the members of the legislature. I know Carl Bifilio was always very active on the board of the Ulcer Prevention Council, and I'm not sure who the current members of the legislature that participate on the board. But
do we know?
It's a host.
But my question is, the reports are there? Have we analyzed the efficacy of this program?
Yeah, we think the programming is excellent.
We
work with them closely to do school-based work. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you can always do more with more funds, but
right.
Yeah, I could.
And is there any reporting to that effect? Do we have any reports issued from this council? I mean, they talk about a whole bunch of reports, but
yeah,
most of their
information is online. But I could see what's available.
Yeah, I would love to see.
How they're measuring
anything that
programs.
We've gotten, how are we measuring success? Because it's not a small amount of money. I mean, I'm happy to hear you think the program is excellent, but I think
for what it is, it's well spent. I mean, it's mostly for outreach and education to you to understand the repercussions of using alcohol or drugs.
Right, and then it talks about two school districts. And target milestones, et cetera. But I'm curious how that, if that's identified in anything that's documentable. I'm curious about reading anything that comes out of this. Thank you.
All right, any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
495, approving the execution of a contract in excess of 50, entered the county, family, Woodstock, Department of Health and Mental Health. Move.
Move it.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion, Tracy?
Questions. So this, among the different programs that are enumerated in here, they talk about the Evolve program, which is also on Resolution 503. Can you explain how those two resolutions interface?
So I believe the Evolve, it's a batterer's program. It's designed to deal with men who have been at issue with violence, and I believe that they use various sources of funding to fully
to fully fund the program, which is why I'm seeing them in two different places. Okay.
They receive a little bit of state aid, and they also get some grant funds for that full probation.
I think it goes back to something that, Lynn, you talked about in terms of being able to look at something programmatically, because when it's funded from a bunch of different sources, it's hard for me to see, or for any of us, to see what
the
cost is.
Yeah, the budget's in multiple places.
So Family Woodstock is the best example. Most times you're not going to find that type of a relationship. A family is unique in that they leverage a lot of funding to make a lot happen. So you and I have talked about family and how it might be, you know, beneficial, either through the audit committee or through the county controller's office or whoever audits, mm-hmm. to look at coverage, look at how programs flow into their budget, and how and
who's served, how many people are served.
I'm real comfortable with who's served. Like I got that. Yeah. What I don't understand is that I work for Family of Woodstock. I work on four programs. Am I being leveraged 100% or 130%?
And that's a repeat question.
Or 82.
Correct. So, you know, But also, don't let me give an impression. It's a great organization. We deal with vendors. I've dealt with vendors all over the state of New York. It's really a quality organization. They do a lot with a little. Mm-hmm. Again, their management structure is very underpaid compared to a lot of other. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily bad that the way that they leverage. I'm just saying that we've never fully understood it.
It's not casting aspersions. I think it's just responsible for us to ask those questions.
But certainly,
and to look
again,
into
I know
them.
Tracy, it's something that you've advocated for at the audit committee for years, and I would recommend that you pursue.
How much total money do we give to Family Woodstock average a year?
But so I'm gonna guess and say about $7 million.
$7 million. Do we ever get even a basic rundown on?
Yeah. So they file an annual report with the legislature.
How specific does that get? I have never looked at
it. It details every service, how many people they've served. I haven't seen this year's yet, but they file one with the legislature every year.
Okay. I haven't seen one since I'm a legislator.
Can we get a copy of last year's?
I also get their annual financial statements.
Do those get passed around to us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would actually recommend
anything this year.
Is it a year rent?
Where was that?
It's a year rent?
All right, one question at a time, please.
Maybe the best document that I'd recommend that you look for, if Amber doesn't have it, I could provide it, would be they do an annual inventory of services. It's like an annual report, but they do it a little differently than most organizations. I kind of like what they do. They really go into a granular level on every program, mm-hmm. who was served, how they were served. You know, and again, it's helpful. And I think when you look at it, you can appreciate kind of the depth and, you know, kind of catch-all nature of family and how they've taken on a lot of topics that most not-for-profits aren't willing to take on.
And do they talk about the funding and the personnel dedicated to each?
Do. Yeah. You have it on their Facebook, on their page.
It's well publicized. It's not, you know.
All right. Any other questions regarding Resolution 495? If not, all in favor, say aye.
I've looked at that.
496, approving excess of $50,000, Mental Health Hospital, Broadway Campus, Department of Mental Health. Move. Second?
Second.
Questions? If not, all in favor, say aye. 497, approving the execution of contract excess of 50, Angelbody County, Helpline Hospital, Broadway Campus. Move. Second.
Second.
Discussions?
I have a question.
Yep.
So, in looking at this contract, I recall a period of time where the contract stated how many days they had to be open, and I don't see anything regarding dates or hours or anything. There's no requirement of any kind of commitment in this contract that I can see.
Yep. So Tracy, I think I've been here 8 cycles now, and I think this is the 8th time
that I've brought this up.
So I actually printed out and brought to everyone today. So if you recall, there was some controversy last year where you had a constituent come before the legislature, and my God, you all have a policy that says the Health Alliance should be open 7 days a week, right? And I brought the article so we could relive it, the experience once again. But, you know, though it's the wishes of the Ulster County Legislature to direct how the program is structured, mm-hmm. we don't have that authority. So your choice is to provide a $100,000 subsidy to the Health Alliance for the methadone program, which I would highly advocate for.
Yeah.
They do great work, and we've worked really hard with them to really limit waiting lists, to make sure people aren't on a waiting list for a long period of time. We've done a lot of expansion. We've done a lot of work to funnel some capital dollars to Health Alliance to make that happen. Mm-hmm. But again, the state of New York dictates how methadone programs are open. We can't limit who participates. Whenever they free up a slot,
someone from Newburgh could take it. Like, you can't, they're regional programs. We don't have the ability. But we provided this subsidy for years. I know they find it extremely helpful. And you could choose not to provide the subsidy, given the nature of the opioid crisis that's happening nationally and here in Ulster. I would recommend that you support the $100,000, but we've determined some time ago that we don't have the ability to direct how they program at their clinic.
How much is the total cost of the program? Where our subsidies
are millions of dollars. It's a very large program. Oh, okay. We provide a very small subsidy. It was before my tenure with the county. They had needed some assistance. We provided some assistance, and we've kept it up over the years because we think it's the right thing to do. It helps them fill in some gaps with, you know, when you appreciate, a lot of times when you receive federal and state funds, it limits your flexibility. So, our $100,000 helps fill some gaps that might be hard for them to fill otherwise. I'd recommend you support it. If not, we'll notify them we're not going to provide them with the $100,000.
Laura?
The incident was somebody who needed a weekend supply of it and ended up distributing it, and the young man died because of it. For the $100,000, you're saying we could not mandate what it gets spent
right. So,
on? We couldn't
right.
say this is specifically to stay open on a Sunday so they can get daily doses?
Yeah, so if you read the article that I provided, Tracy, the director of the program will explain that even if they're open 7 days a week, they still provide overnight dose as part of the treatment protocol. You're trying to teach somebody to be self-sufficient in the community. There was a bad incident that happened one time. I believe it was Saugerty, some years before my tenure here. I know many of you recall it who've been here a while. And again, it's an anomaly. You know, things happen with programming. And I know it's the desire of the legislature. You did a formal policy. Unfortunately, we're unable to direct how they run their clinic.
Tracy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna support the money, but just a fast look at the article you gave me. I mean, it should be stated, if this is true, that according to the State Office of Alcohol and Substance Abuse Services, federal and state regulations require that clinics be open a minimum of 6 days per week. Hours of operations are determined based on the number of patients the clinics serve and need to be flexible. The Health Alliance program is one of only a handful outside of New York City that don't operate 7 days a week. So my read is that the regulations say that you have to be open at least six. There's nothing saying they can't be open seven.
That's correct.
That's a decision they make. That's not a regulated decision. They make a decision not to be open seven.
They make a consultation with OASIS.
Right. You know, but so there's nothing stopping them. Yeah. They would be allowed to be open seven.
Yeah.
So we could say, we could tie this. Couldn't we tie that to the money and say, no, you're going to agree to that? Or
I don't know.
You take away.
I mean, we give them a lot of money besides this. Don't they get a lot of money from us?
Listen, take away the $100,000.
I'm not suggesting we recommend it.
Why would we want to
have it?
They get a lot of other contracts from us, too.
Yeah, so great. So as I explained, they use this money to fill in gaps, and it's important to them. But it's not so important to them that they're going to change the programming at their clinic. Back in 2015, when the legislature set this policy, we met with them the policy had several parts. One was, let's see what we can do to eliminate the waiting list, and I believe it was Legislator Rob Parody at the time who was personally vested in this, and he wanted 7 days a week, and we went and we in fact worked with the state. We identified capital money to expand their programming, and at the time, the state of New York has not kept pace with the growing opioid crisis, as well as some of us would like. And at the time, they had an artificial cap set on every methadone program that operated in the state of New York. Don't hold me to the specific number. Let's say there's 150 slots, and they had to go through a whole approval process to expand those slots. So we actually worked to change that policy. So now they have the ability to request and receive almost instant increases in numbers served. But, of course, that's all based upon facilities, what they can staff for. So we got them a substantial state aid. They did an increase. I think they're running a lot better today than they were in the past. But, again, we have to be careful that we don't, over-subsidize something, too, because we have to make sure that the money that we invest supports the residents of Ulster County, right? But, unfortunately, due to the fact it's a regional program, if a slot frees up, that could easily go to somebody from Orange County or Dutchess County. There's no way that we can determine, that it has to be an Ulster County resident or, again.
We did discuss this in the Public Health Committee, and medication-supported treatment is a vital component. I think it should be greatly expanded. We're dealing with a very big program with a very rigid, in my view, oversight from the state level. And if they've worked out a way to give their treatment that we can support, I think we should do it. If we had any evidence of it, you know, there was an ongoing problem from the way they were treating, that would be a different matter. They did, when we initially started in with this substitute, they did use it to decrease the wait time, and I think now that's way down. And if we treat somebody who's from Newark, fine, because there's networks, there's circles here. So I am not at all worried about our county boundaries. This is a small amount of money for a problem that we all want to be directing many more resources to.
Yeah, and if I just add to that, you'll be happy to know that the budget you just approved programs some dollars that we think are going to be really effective. You're going to see hopefully some new partnerships with the jail to do medically assisted treatment. We've got some substantial dollars invested into making sure we work with the new sheriff to get that right. We're also working to train a lot more physicians in the county to prescribe Suboxone, which is an effective medically assisted treatment where we don't have a lot of providers. We're working to really improve the providers and then do some other prevention work. So, you know, you should see those contracts, as I told the committee, you know, as they flow throughout the year.
All right. Any other questions? Joe?
When it comes to Suboxone and methadone, there is a lot of other trains of thought out there. Probably be worth getting, before we start going and saying we're going to start pushing for more doctors to be giving out Suboxone. I think we should explore, because there's a lot of things out there that I've been reading that are very against Suboxone treatment. But I think the original conversation was about giving somebody that has a drug addiction problem extra methadone, a powerful drug, for that extra day. That's what this also is. Great as everything else is, what we're talking about is maybe reaching out and making a strong suggestion that the Ulster County, who is now thinking about giving another $100,000 that we have no right to technically tell you what to do with, but I think that's what we're talking about, is maybe reaching out or doing what we're allowed to do to push for 7 days. So all these other great things are great, but what we're talking about is drug addicts getting doubled up on methadone and taking it home, which is a bad idea. Everyone agrees it's a bad idea. So that's what we're talking about, what our options are as far as getting a seventh day.
So I'll just respond to that. This is the eighth time that Tracy and I have had this conversation. We've attempted that many, many years. We've determined that we don't have the ability to force the will of the county legislature on this provider. I don't think the $100,000 and what they use it for is worth pushing that to that level. I think this is critical. I think we should make sure we have this small modicum of funding to give them some flexibility. We've done it for years. We should continue doing it. And that said, and also, I love to. Again, a lot of the trained medical and mental health professionals that work for us believe that Suboxone is a great thing to add to our treatment regimen.
Let's not get into it. Let's talk about the research. Hey, Tracy?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the relevant, it's not that I don't want to cut the funding or make the, you know, dangle the funding, make anything contingent on the funding. I would like to know, if we've had the conversation, what would it take to get 7 days financially? What would it, and the other question is, what is the waiting time right now? I know you're saying it's substantially decreased, but those are two critical questions to me to understand if we're facing that problem. Because, and also, maybe the other question would be, how many people fall into that gap of getting the multi-day supply because they can't make that trip?
Again, it's a step-down program. Last year when this came up, I believe the director of the program came in. It's a perennial debate that we have here, right?
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
if you will review the minutes, I know you'll see it. Certainly, it's your purview to have them come on in. And the number is probably well over $1 million. We might
for a seventh day?
Yeah, because they don't have the capacity. Plus, you need capital money. We'd have to build out so they have physical space.
Well, don't they? What space is it in that they're using right now?
They're in a space. I believe it's off of Salt Hill Road. I believe.
Yep.
Yes. Right. So yeah. So again, complicated. Certainly, it's your.
Yeah, but I think it's worth having that.
What does that say? They don't have the space to do a seventh day.
I don't get it.
Again, it's about staffing and.
But you said space. They don't have the space to do a seventh day.
We're also talking about capacity for treatment.
could we plan to do this at a public health meeting so that, because I think we can bring everybody up to speed and see if it
All right, let's talk about the resolution right now, and if we want to expand it, go to public health and have a conversation there. All right, all in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody against? Can we bumble any, Tracy?
I have questions on
which
the next
one.
I have questions on 498.
I have 498.
I want to comment on 499.
Family Services Department of Mental Health. Move. Move.
Move.
Second.
I second it.
Discussion. Tracy.
So the 5-year contract, is that a standard? What I mean, I know we have
this is a special contract. Mm-hmm. This is a, if you recall, 5 years ago, we changed the direction of our adult mental health services. Ulster County no longer has a license to provide adult clinical services.
Right.
We partnered in a really unique way with a not-for-profit provider. Mm-hmm. You know, some people around the legislature mischaracterize that as a privatization. Under our collective bargaining agreements, we don't have the ability to contract out work if it will result in the loss of jobs for unionized employees. That's a provision in our union contracts. Mm-hmm. So what we established is a really unique model where we partnered with a great not-for-profit provider. It's called Hudson Valley Mental Health. They're currently merging back with their parent organization. It's called Family Services. They also operate the Ulster Prevention Council. But it's a very large corporation. They're based in Poughkeepsie. To operate an Article 31 mental health clinic with today's Medicaid reimbursement rates, it's a money loser, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, 5 years ago, we developed a unique partnership. We were able to generate some new investment. We brought in a new medical record. We brought in a new practice model. And instead of providing financial subsidy to the organization, we provide professional staff.
Oh.
So all the professional staff, the clinicians, the psychiatrists, all the mental health professionals that work at the Department of Mental Health, they are county employees, and they provide the service in these Article 31 clinics. So it's a real interesting.
And that's how it's not supplanting.
Correct.
Okay.
So again, if people thought the services were great before this contract, it's the same exact people providing the service.
Okay.
Okay. So that's a. To give you an update, I provided the committee quite a bit of discussion on this at the committee level. You could probably listen to the tape.
Yep,
but since this contract over 5 years, their census has gone up about 31%. They expanded their hours in New Paltz, so they're now an additional day in New Paltz. So the main clinic is near Kingston on Golden Hill. They rent space from us. You approved that contract last month. They also rent space from us at Trudy Farber Resnick for one day a week. You approved that contract either last month or the month before. And they rent space from Gateway Community Industries to provide a clinic in New Paltz. They are also providing some interesting improvements this year where they've just been approved by OMH to expand telepsychiatry. As you can imagine, in a rural county, having enough psychiatric hours is really difficult and hard to do. Their psychiatrists are hard to come by, so they're able to leverage some new technology. We just got approval for that.
All right, so you recommend this contract?
Yes.
All right. All right, all in favor, say aye.
It's
aye.
All right. Tracy, can we bundle a couple? What do you have questions on?
Well, 499, I have a short comment.
All right, 499, Access Support for Living, Inc.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
So this is the mobile mental health unit, which is great,
yeah.
Which I want to just acknowledge that that's a relatively new thing, correct?
Yeah.
And no, this
4 years.
Yeah. Has this increased funding at all, or is
so
level?
So I was able to negotiate with the county executive's help on one-time dollars through a local through our neighbor assemblywoman who chaired the mental health committee. We have a good relationship, and we were able to identify some funds to. Change the service hours so that we would better serve schools. Like if we're opening
right,
at 1 o'clock and the schools need you at 10, right? So,
yeah.
So those funds are drying up, but we're working with that with the state and the provider to try to make sure we still provide that coverage.
Okay.
What's nice about this coverage is we know when we get the calls,
mm-hmm.
and the hours are.
Are you recommending this? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
All in favor, say aye.
It's a great program.
Happy to meet individually, Tracy.
All right, Tracy. Any other questions you have? Let's go.
500 and 501 are fine for me.
500 and 501.
Mm-hmm.
Can we bundle those two?
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor, bundling resolution 500 and 501.
Second.
Any discussion on the resolutions 500 and 501? Someone move them, please.
Move.
Second. Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
502.
I have a question.
Entered by the county, Black Creek Integrated Systems, Ulster County Sheriff. Moved. Second. What's the question, Tracy?
I'm curious, has anyone analyzed the value of this? I mean, it's a fairly, $52,000 a year. When you read the exact explanation of services, it almost reads as a list of what they don't provide. You know, they provide 9-to-5 telephone support at a cost, only a 15% discount on parts and labor, quarterly written report. It just seems, I'm curious if the value of this has ever been analyzed against the use of it.
I'm going to leave that for the Sheriff's Department. I mean, okay. I don't know that our...
But did you see what I mean? How it basically lays out.
Yeah, you want to grab them?
Why don't you hold it over? Have the sheriff come in.
Someone's here. The public safety is next. So.
All right, let's go to 503.
Okay.
Resolution 503. Enter a contract, Finley Woodstock. Second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. I have a question on 504 too. Wait, were you going to ask a question on 502?
Yeah, Black Creek Integrated Systems.
So my question, sir, is has anyone analyzed the value of this contract? It seems to state all the things they're not going to do rather than what they are going to do, and 15% discount on labor and 15% discount on parts and surcharge waiver. It seems like a lot of nothing for a lot of money. So I'm curious.
They come 5 times a year, four to five.
Four times, yep,
yeah,
quarterly.
They stay for a week. They go through the entire system. They check
They're
doors.
They're on site for a week?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Four times a year?
This I got this straight from Chris Howe, who's with them when they come. He accompanies them, and they check the cameras. They go through they install all our sliding doors. And by the way, the hard part is, if we ever got to a point where we broke company with them, we'd have to get somebody to reinstall the infrastructure because it's different, I guess. It's unique to Black Creek.
I don't like the idea of having somebody install something and then being tied
I'm not sure that's what it was
way back when the jail was constructed. That's my understanding before I got there. I know Chris Howe deals with them, and he told me they're there at four, sometimes 5 times a year, and every time they come, they stay for a week.
Well, that gives me a little more confidence in the value of the contract. Thank you.
Laura? Just through the chair, Tracy, I was looking, I think it was this one. Is this the one that they can subcontract through another vendor was it Ohio?
I don't know. I mean, what struck me on this one is that they talked, in terms of the Schedule A, it talked a lot about what they don't do. It said, we get a 15% discount on parts and labor, that there's a quarterly visit. It said that we can only make emergency phone calls at business hours, and they're billed at a certain rate. And so if you don't have it, then you know, or if you have to call on the weekend, there's an additional. If you don't have it, you just have to pay for the call.
Feel more comfortable now, Tracy?
Marginally. Okay. But
Chris also said that he's there, a telephone call away every time he ever calls. They are right there, offer the assistance that he needs. Chris was very positive about everything about it.
All in favor? 502, all in favor?
Aye.
Anybody against? If not, 504, execution of a contract, continuing systems, information services. Move. Second. Discussion.
What is on-base services? It doesn't say in the resolution or the contract.
So on-base is a document storage software. Okay. So if we want to attach a contract and we don't want to use up all the storage in, like, New World, they have hotkeys that will, I'm sure Amber's used these before. And
I just didn't know what it was. Said what it was.
All right.
Okay.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
505, approving a contract, legal services, Hudson Valley, Department of Probation. Moved.
Move.
Second. Any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
506, and $50,000 entered the county, Rehabilitation Support Service Department, Health and Mental Health. Moved. Second.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
No. 509, authorize the requirements test for transfer 0.18 acres of Elk County in Kingston to the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance. Move. Move, somebody, please.
Move.
Second?
Second.
Discussion. Tracy?
I'm going to support it, but I want to say I still feel a little uncomfortable about it. I'm going to support it because it's a good business and it's not going to affect the rail trail, but I feel that we have already set a precedent with this, and I don't mean in the legal terminology, but when I talked about setting a precedent last time, I was told we hadn't set a precedent, and then I was referred to the precedent that we set previously. Mm-hmm. So, to me, it's a slippery slope. I'm gonna support it, but I'm just going on record that I'm not really comfortable with it.
All in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Resolution 510 is being postponed. Correct, Dennis? This is the purchase of a Cooper train.
510, are you postponing? You
can't the bus?
Buses?
Why?
That's not buses.
No, it's
for purchase of equipment for training and room upgrades.
Yeah, so this is 100%. These are 100% federal and state dollars.
Why are they being postponed?
It's not yours?
No.
All right, my mistake.
We're not postponing, no.
They're not postponing. All right, someone move it, please.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
512, purchase of mass bus services, Ulster County, UCAT.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Question?
Are these electric buses?
No, these are cutaway buses.
Okay. Are we looking at electric buses?
Matter of fact, the county executive, I drove a electric bus down Broadway in Kingston about a month ago.
Okay.
And we're exploring, as we look to expand into Kingston, we're looking at potentially having all electric fleet for both Kingston and New Paltz. It's something we're exploring.
So why are we buying a cutaway bus?
Because that's what's appropriate for today.
Okay.
These are to replace existing buses, and I believe this resolution is for 100% dollars to replace those buses.
Okay.
Yep.
Laura?
These are shorter buses. Tracy, these aren't the...
I know. I would prefer the safety.
There's not an all-electric bus that can serve a rural county in this fashion.
Okay.
We need to have a within a city confines.
All right. Any other discussion?
Hold on. Sorry, I had a question.
It's over 400. It's a mileage limit.
Dennis,
400,000.
5 years.
About 400,000 miles.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
514, authorizing the chairman to execute a license agreement with James Demos and Andrea D. Tisha for uses of county on property for a patio fort. Move.
I don't know if this is.
I'll move. Second. Discussion.
I definitely want to speak.
Can't tell us where it is.
I can. You know.
Quickly.
It's gonna be really quick. For the last several years, we've had a contract with Santa Fe across the street for three spots in the county parking lot across the street where they've had a patio.
We asked for information.
I want to say that this also makes me feel really uncomfortable. I don't think the county should be in the business of being landlords to a private business. I really don't love the idea. And the issue came up in my own district where county property was being used for a restaurant, and that eventually a transfer was made because I was told that the county was uncomfortable with alcohol being served on county-owned property. I just feel like it expands beyond. We have this discussion about parking and availability of parking. I think if we deem that this is a better value, then we should surplus the property and sell it. The concept of renting it for $100 a month to one business makes me personally uncomfortable.
All right, Joe.
And it's a great business. I'm just not.
And you were supposed to get us information. Remember, we asked for the contract, for everything about
that.
You said no
here.
Problem. And we were supposed to get that a couple of months ago, and we never did. I think even the you were supposed to get us every aspect of this agreement with them a couple of months ago, and we never got
that. Should have been the lease. So the new lease is in front of you. I can get you the old lease. It's going to be the same. I apologize for not following up on that, but the new lease should be in your
backup. And does it have a...
Is it not on there?
It's in the resolution packet. This is on the property, and they are serving alcohol. So why is this different?
Than what?
To the matter that Tracy pointed out in her own community.
I'm not aware of that.
Which was county land, right? No.
It was used for the former Tuttle House restaurant.
Old Bridge Overlook.
Old Bridge Overlook.
The owner actually wanted that property.
They did. And this was a long internal yard.
So we have challenges, personal challenges here with parking for employees, et cetera.
And we gave them. I'd like to see the overhead on what exactly is our piece.
It's the whole courtyard where it's all cordoned off, right?
No, it's not the whole.
No, it's not. It's three parking spaces.
Three parking.
Good done.
Three parking spaces.
All right. Any other questions? If not, all in favor, say aye.
I'm a no.
Who? I'm a no.
I'm a no.
You got four no's. How many yeses? One, two, three, four. All right. Resolution 515, authorizing county to execute agreement with New York State Unification Court System, Department of Public
Works.
Second. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
518, execute a contract that costs the 50.
What happened to 516?
Oh, wait, sorry. 516 needs to be pulled.
Okay.
516 is not even on here.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's already pulled.
518, entered a contract by Barone Construction, Department of Public Works. Move.
Can I hold this?
You want to hold this?
Make a request to postpone.
Postpone until next week?
The late that's going in that will go to laws and rules and come to this committee the next day
okay.
is what's amending the capital for this contract.
Can I ask a question on
yes.
it?
Yes.
Go on.
Can we move for discussion? So in this
Move for discussion.
Okay.
I'm second.
Yeah.
Go on.
In this contract, I noticed that it said if Barone isn't paid after 60 days, that they start to accrue 3.5% interest. I don't recall seeing that in other contracts.
It was a standard.
Standard?
Yeah, it's standard in construction management contracts. It was in their contract.
Yeah, Taylor law.
It's in the contract. For they're also doing work on the restorative justice with their
pay.
When you say the Taylor law, does that mean it's required to be in there?
I don't know about that. I just.
I think
you have to federal money in the job bill
applies. Is there federal money in this job?
There's state money.
What is the Taylor? I'm confused. So you're saying we're required?
SUNY Ulster is funding part of this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Taylor law is basically has a speedy payment clause which says after 60, you have to pay within 60 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can someone? I'm going to support it, but can you just?
Well, we're postponing it. We're postponing it.
Yeah.
All in favor to postpone it?
Thank you.
Aye.
All right, anybody against this till next week, Mark?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Resolution 521, authorizing the commissioner finding to accept bids for parcel county on property private sale authorized. All right, second.
I just have a question.
Oh, second, please. Second, please.
Okay.
All right,
I'm
question.
Second it too. is this part of the village actually starting to move properties? I mean, some of these are in the village of Ellenville. I'm confused.
I don't know.
You have to ask probably Bert more than anybody else.
Okay.
But
all right, I'll ask him. I'll just support it now, and I'll talk to him separately.
I mean, we always move village properties.
Yeah, we have there. But she's talking about the properties in the village.
I know what she's talking about.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, on new business, the compensation report. We mentioned that at the budget meeting. We asked to have information give to Amber, so we included into some kind of synopsis of what we want to do with the Benjamin Group. Lynn?
Yeah, well, I'm still waiting for the data that I've asked for from Bert, and I'm hoping to get that, but I've had a conversation with the exec. He does not feel we should have the level of detail, and I have a problem. If we ask for information and we ask it, I mean, by edict of the charter, we can get whatever we can get. And so I'm going on record saying I am not happy that I cannot get the data I want. I appreciate all the work, but what I got was what Bert wanted to give me, not what I asked for.
All right, but this compensation report.
And it's relating to this. And I, having done a salary surveys for 20-odd years, I have a strong opinion about this, and I'd like to see what's being proposed and how, in fact, the Benjamin Center is looking at this.
He's not looking at it right now until we give him some kind of outline of how we want it to be looked at.
Well, and I would like to help put that outline together.
Well, I mean, if you don't give the information to Amber, we're not going to be able to go back to the Benjamin Group and say this is what we want asking you to do.
Well, it's kind of hard to do when you don't have the information that I've been asking for weeks now.
Unfortunately, I can't help you there. The thing is, that I mean, you said you talked to the county exec. What was the outcome of that discussion?
that he's going to review it. He's going to wait till he gets finished with his amendments. So it'll be interesting to see if any of the increases are vetoed.
So Is this, I think I was absent for the discussion about this compensation review. You're saying the Benjamin Center is going to do a compensation review?
I had a conversation with Jerry Benjamin. He said that he had to do some studies, part of his RFP. One of the studies he would include would be this compensation, if we would like him to do that. But he wanted some parameters, what he would like us to, what we would like him to look at regarding
But so are you saying that it was decided in Ways and Means that was where we wanted him to go?
No, no. It was not decided. It's something that's on the table. And if
okay.
Ways and Means wants to go in that direction, I asked her. Amber sent out an email to everybody saying,
right,
well,
I was
please,
confused by the email.
Please give some of the areas that you want the Benjamin Group to look at. That's where we are right now.
And it's very difficult, and I just keep saying this again and again, and I feel like a broken record. It is very hard until we see actual data to really understand what we want him to go and do. I don't understand why nobody has an issue with this.
Basic.
Then I wouldn't waste my money on that. Let's look at other things.
Yeah, then
let's look at other things.
If there's something we could do ourselves, this is it.
I can do it, and that's the thing. I mean, if I get the data.
If you don't want the Benjamin Group to do it, they will not do it.
Yeah, well,
it's that simple.
I think we should talk about what it is we do want them to do.
Well, that's what we're asking.
I know,
Amber put that out to ask everybody, what do you want?
The email we got was about the compensation review. The email said, please give you have until today to give your, I'm paraphrasing, give your comments on the compensation review, and I did not know what
report.
We were I didn't even know what we were talking about.
It was discussed that if you wanted a Benjamin Group to look at the salary structure of comparable jobs in Ulster County and some other counties, they would do that, providing we give them more parameters of what we want them to look at.
And once again, I'm sorry. I'm just going to say I would appreciate getting the data to be able to inform that study in a meaningful way.
What
I don't know what
for?
Else
I'm
I can say.
I'm a little confused about what data you're looking for.
Well, rattle off a couple of things you asked for.
I asked for a name. I asked for the hours per week that person works. I asked for their increases for the last 5 years. I asked when they were in this job and when they started with the county. Simple data. I cannot get that.
It's not data that's included in a salary study, typically.
Please. Name. All right, hold on, Mark. Hold everybody, hold on.
There's a public hearing.
Yeah, we're a little late for the public hearing.
10 minutes.
Please.
Had that.
Please. If you have some kind of information, get the Amber suggestions on regarding the compensation report. If this committee want, first of all, does this committee want the Benjamin Group to look at this?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
That's
okay,
not what
no.
I...
Okay.
Fine. I mean, I think
it's
if
beneath,
it's...
What, it's beneath them, really.
We have an
it's
opportunity.
It's not beneath them, Joe. Not at all.
No,
he was glad to do it.
Their expertise. This is not something that
I think we should talk about what we use
in.
Their expertise for, then
and we should
versus
talk to them.
Just being said, this is what we're going
to
use it for. They offered to do a couple of things.
Hold on, no one said... They are doing it.
No, I get it.
Let's make that very clear.
No, I get it.
All right,
I do,
so
Chairman.
Let's make
Thank
that
you.
Very clear. That this is one thing that they can look at if we want them to look at, but they need some direction.
If I may.
Yes, you may.
What I would say they could be very helpful with is once we kind of look at the data, be able to say, can you go out and tell us comparable counties, do they have similar jobs? What are they paying them? That could be very beneficial. But until we get the data, I don't even know what to ask them for. And this is really where I'm going.
Please, she's talking.
You know, I've done this for 20 years. This is my area of expertise.
You would want, at least I would want, okay? You would want them to compare, if you want to put a title of attorneys in different departments throughout this county, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, how many hours they work. Is it 35, 37 and a half, 40 hours? How long they've been here, so forth
we
and so on.
We can do that.
Fine.
We can do that. Give us the list. I can compare 20 people.
All right. Okay.
Listen.
We'll have a meeting one day.
I would love that. Because all I'm saying is it's what I did for 20 years.
Okay.
I know how to do that.
Any old
I don't business? Need him to do that.
Motion to adjourn, please.
Sounds like there's a lot of
Someone make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
I am so sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Yes, you did.
6:22.
I did.